Some of you may have heard our story as a family that we have transferred from one residence to another for more than 30 times. Did you believe that? Can you believe that? How many times have you transferred from one residence to another when you come to Canada? For us, we already had stayed in four residences since we came to Canada. And it's not very amusing to transfer things, heavy things. Well, we also desire to have permanent residence for retirement, but it's not a priority. And those experiences actually help us to reminisce, to remember. We delight as family when we remember great experiences we had, we cherished when we went to East Asia as missionaries, the community, the food, the neighborhood, the environment, and even lifestyle and challenges included. Truly, if by faith we follow the leading of Jesus Christ, our life experiences are far much better. Can you say that? Can you claim that when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you want your life better? Actually, I considered to reside in East Asia for good. Was thinking about that. How can we stay here for good? But God had a better plan for us here in Canada, and I believe my family would agree with that reality. And as Christians, we should admit that this world is not our permanent residence. It's not. Everyone, even non-Christian, would say they cannot say this is their permanent residence forever. Certainly, everyone would get out of this world one day. And we, as Christians, we look forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are transients. Transients of this temporal world. This is only temporary. You may live very long, 100 or more, but still, we will live this earth. But as we wait for the coming of Christ to transport us to his eternal, to his heaven, heaven will be our eternal residence. What should we prioritize as Christians as we wait for that moment? Can you conceptualize what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22? Let's read this meditatively. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you two are being built together to become dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. When the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us, what happens to us? We prioritize our mission purposes. All believers, we are all significant part as holy temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. Do you agree with that? We should choose to let God situate us. Pray that the Lord would situate you where he deems fitting for his purposes. Most of the time we plan for our personal benefits, favor, but many times we struggle. Why do we struggle? is because it could be possible that you are, the Lord is trying to put you in a situation where he deems beneficial for you and favorable to his purposes, fitting to his purposes. Faith in God is most transparent. Faith in God is exhibited when we trust the Lord, that the Lord situates us, places us where we can be most essential for his purposes, even if it means our personal dream is sacrificed. I dream of staying in East Asia, but I didn't insist of staying in East Asia. God led us here. I don't know exactly, but I believe there's special purpose for God for that. So my dream is sacrificed, but it was better that my dream was sacrificed because we are here. Let's read again verse 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also like, verse 5, you also like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Lord is building spiritual house with living stones. Believers, we are living stones, and Christ is the precious cornerstone of this spiritual house. We, each of us, are essential, important, significant parts of the spiritual house where the Holy Spirit of the Lord dwells on earth. Imagine this. If you're living in a 2, 3, 4-story, 5-story house, but the building is shaking, that is not very amusing, right? A building is stable if the cornerstone is stable. A building will be shaky if the cornerstone is shaky. Have you ever slept in a house that may shake whenever semi-trailer or heavy vehicle pass by? We have in the past. It's not very amusing. You're sleeping, you're tired, and then suddenly your house shake. That's not fun. That's not funny, right? God has chosen Jesus Christ as the precious cornerstone of his spiritual house. And God builds believers together as his spiritual house. And with Christ as the cornerstone, our life, we will never be shaken spiritually, individually, and as a congregation. This church had been shaken in the past. There are situations that may have shaken some, others have been shaken. Many among you who stayed, you were not shaken, you're still here. Believers are living stone that God builds as a spiritual temple. But what is our part in God's temple? Individually and as a church, what is our part? We serve as his holy priest, the holy priest of God. What do we do as holy priest of God? We offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And what are acceptable sacrifices to God? What spiritual sacrifice that God accepts? What spiritual sacrifice that God rejects? Well, we can learn from the life of the Israelites in the time of King Saul. King Saul the first king of Israel, he partially obeyed the Lord when he told him, destroy the Amalekites and all their properties. Partially he obeyed. He destroyed the Amalekites. But he did not kill their king. There's Just one, but every Amalekite were killed. And then he destroyed all their properties, their houses, plants, killed the animals, livestock. But again, he saved the best of the livestock and take some of it and offered to God. He obeyed the Lord partially. He did not obey completely. And Prophet Samuel rhetorically admonished, rebuked King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Let's read this. Remember this. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings, in sacrifices, as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. And this is very true, even in this generation, that they think that because they are offering to the Lord their offering in God's tithe, they just do what they can do. Does God delights in giving when we give our offering? He does. But he delights better when we obey. When we obey him. Saul did not totally obey the Lord. In comparison, King David. King David was the second king of Israel. He obeyed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord requires complete obedience, not just partial. Complete obedience. King David may have been very aware of the mistake of King Saul when he testified about this in Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 to 10. King David wrote this, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings, sin offerings, you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips. Lord, as you know, I do not hide righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly." What does that mean? He testified of God's goodness. He did not just, the Lord had blessed me. I do not need to tell the others. He told the others to know that God blessed him. So why does the Lord require us to give offering if the Lord does not delight in offering? When we give offering, it is not for the Lord. It is for us to be blessed all the more. Giving the tithes and offering of the Lord is for our favor. It's not for the favor of God. So that is not what he delights. He delights when we obey, because it means we honor, we respect him when we obey the Lord. King David desired and did exactly whatever God told him. And what happened to him? God blessed him as the greatest king of Israel. And as we grow intimate in our relationship with the Lord, we also grow spiritually mature. And he blesses us when we obey him. We know that. We learn that. We conceptualize that. And we recognize that. Trust in Christ is apparent when we obey his instruction. We can claim, I trust the Lord, I trust the Lord. Well, don't deceive yourself. Prove that you trust him by obedience. And the greatest command of God is what? What is the greatest command of the Lord? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. To love the Lord is the greatest command. How can we show our love for God? We believe what it declares in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. This is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome now. The more we grow in our faith, the more we understand that when we obey the Lord, it's not really hard to obey the Lord. When we force to obey the Lord, that is when it is hard. We cannot obey the Lord with our own effort. We need to remember that. We need to remember that we can only obey the Lord with godly effort. Godly commands, godly effort. Human commands, human effort. That's a reality. So how? When we have that desire to obey the Lord, Lord, I want to obey you. That desire comes from the Lord. But I don't know how to obey you. So help me, Lord. So how do you obey? Whatever, right, that God allows you to see, to realize, maybe that is the first step of obeying the Lord. When you know it is right, when you know we ought to do, and we don't do it, what does that mean? In James 4:17 that we learned in the past, it is sin. The most practical exhibit of love and faith for God is obedience to His command. Don't just force. When there's resistance, I don't like to obey. That's human. When we resist, our human nature is at work. So when we sense that, pray, Lord, remove this resistance from me. Instead, give me that delight to obey you. When we obey, we can also prove that godly commands includes blessing. That there's blessing waiting for us when we obey, not burdens. This is why it says commands of God are not burdensome. Now, only by faith we believe that. Many people cannot believe it. This is why they do not want to obey, because they feel it's burdensome. Why? Because it is by faith we believe. Can we obey God with our own effort? We can, but we struggle. But we cannot reach the standard of obedience that the Lord requires. We can only obey the Lord by faith, by faith. And we will never be put to shame. Can you agree with that? When we obey God, we will never be put to shame. Many times we do our own and we are embarrassed because we make a lot of mistakes. But when we obey God, we can never be put to shame. The scripture says in verse 6, let's read. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay in a stone in Zion, a chosen precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, you know that Zion pertains to Jerusalem, right? Now, let's reflect. Let's reflect and challenge ourselves, personally challenge ourselves. Let's check if our faith is really active, is really functioning, is really alive. We are mandated, we are told to testify of the transformational work of Jesus Christ in our life. Acts 1:8, and it says, you will receive power, and the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. We witness, we testify. What has God done in our life? Now, if someone asks you randomly, testify about what Christ has done in your life, what do you say? Are you prepared to tell them what happened to your life before you were a Christian, and now that you are a Christian, what would you say? Ever since you placed your faith in Christ, has your life been better? Can you say it's better? More amazing? Have you sensed changes in your behavior? Have you observed if your habit had changed? Your character, the way you talk. Your habit before you became Christian, is there any change? Your behavior, how you behave before others. What transformational story will you testify? Or are you ready to testify? Or are you ashamed? Remember, believers in Christ will never be put to shame. The one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. And yet, when the natural instinct, the human instinct, prevails in our hearts, prevails in our mind, we feel ashamed. Now I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed. When you feel that, that's the human nature. That's the human instinct. We don't want to testify when the human nature prevails in us. So remember that when you have that opportunity to tell about what happened in your life, and you feel like you want to step back, no, not this time, maybe next time, that attitude, God would allow also for you not to trust in yourself, but to trust in Him. Ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do? What should I say? Just pray and ask. Eventually, you would not even realize you will be speaking of what the Lord had done in your life. There's this excitement, that joyful peace, no hesitation at all. It means the Holy Spirit of Christ is working in your life. As a church, we gather here together in this sanctuary every week. Why is that? We want to encourage one another that we keep on trusting the Lord. Every part of the worship service, from that door, once you enter, your purpose is to worship. It's not when the opening prayer starts, that's not the start of worship service. Worship service starts when you have desired that you want to worship the Lord personally. From your home, coming here, you start worshiping. In this sanctuary, when you enter that door, start smiling for the person waiting for you, or the person waiting for you smiling, saying, good morning. It is because your heart is ready to worship, is actually worshiping the Lord. Did you know that? And when you start praying, that is additional part of your worship. Singing, that is not many preachers in the seminary, let me testify of this. In the seminary, there are confusion among seminarians. They think that worship, praise and worship, is when you are listening to the sermon. But worship leaders think that worship is during singing songs, singing praise and worship songs, because it means, the name is praise and worship, means which worship. But that's not exactly how we worship the Lord. Every part of what we do, it should be worship for God, because it's the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives. So greeting others, praying, reading, listening to God's word, even giving and even singing and praising God, that is our worship to the Lord. Why do we want to give? Because the Lord is working in our lives for us to give. When the Lord is working in our life, we want to praise and thank the Lord. And all this part of our worship, organized worship, if you would, they are designed to build a greater confidence on how we may conduct ourselves acceptable to God. How we present ourselves, our mind, our words, that's practice. No matter what observers may think or say, we conduct ourselves acceptable to God in the manner that you express worship to God before other believers should come very natural to you eventually. At first, it may felt awkward, but eventually as you progress, as you mature in your faith, it would become very natural. And you won't be concerned what others may say or think. If you do not concern what others may think or say in this sanctuary, eventually when you go out of this sanctuary, others may observe you also. And you won't be concerned what they say, unless it concerns you. It requires you to testify. Do you worship the Lord and sing praises to Him with all your might consciously? When we sing songs, do you consciously internalize the message of the songs that we sing? Some of you may have been just enjoying the music, but when you are we are conscious of what you are saying to the Lord, that is something else. Now let's learn from King David. Let's learn from the situation that King David had. It states in 2 Samuel and the following, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, that is Jerusalem, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping, dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Verse 20, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as in a vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father and everyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to that day of her death. Now, can you imagine how King David celebrated? Maybe he would be dancing, my life is better. Yeah, my life is better when I will follow you. Yeah. He had been throwing his robes. It's not necessarily removing his shirt, but removing his robe is like removing his dignity. It may have been that way, I don't know exactly. But in the eyes of Michal, she was undignified. I don't know if my wife was also thinking about that when I removed this. Wow. That's very, very wonderful. But many times we think like, we need to conduct ourselves. We need to be quiet when the pastor is talking. That is what we think, because that is the tradition says. That is what the older people were done in the past. And we don't like to do that. We do not even want to laugh. We do not even want to clap. We don't want, because the older people did it. And they were saying, shh, shh. They do it for themselves. They do it for the ethics, etiquette that they think is right and proper. But for David, he said, I will become even more undignified than this. Now, when it says Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to that day, this reminds us of Hebrew culture. In Hebrew culture, when you have more children, you are much blessed. And when they believed that God withholds blessing from Michal so that she did not have children. It's not necessarily, we do not teach that God withhold children for those individuals who don't have children. It's not what we believe, but it's in the Hebrew culture. Maybe God allows you not to have children because He had another purpose for you. But in the Hebrew culture, it was recorded that Michal did not have children until she died. It teaches that the Lord withhold blessing from her after she despised that as improper and dignified. It's like vulgar in her eyes, the manner King David worshiped God and celebrated before the ark of the Lord. Michal assumed that King David, asking you should protect your dignity like my father. She may have been thinking about that. As royal, as king, even during celebration, you should celebrate properly. Now, have you watched that funeral of the queen? They are very proper, dignified. And there was this article where Charlotte, the daughter of the granddaughter, Charlotte reprimanded her younger brother not to do crazy things because they need to be proper. Because it's a royal protocol, they say. David was not bothered how others may think or say, as long as he celebrated before God. The way he desired to express his praise and worship of God, David did it with all his might. He just felt celebrating. How about you? Are you concerned of what others may say when you praise the Lord? Well, Jesus is the truth. Whatever he says is truth. He declares in John chapter 12, 25 to 26, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servants also will be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me. Whether we love or hate, nothing is in between. We love the Lord or we hate the Lord. Nothing in between. There's no partial love, there's no partial hate. If you do not completely love the Lord, everything will be hate. It is natural if we love the Lord, we prioritize Him. If we don't prioritize Him, the Lord considers that as hatred to Him. Let me repeat that. It is natural if we love the Lord, we prioritize Him. If we don't prioritize Him, the Lord considers that as hatred to Him. If we love our life, we prioritize our personal concern. If we don't prioritize our personal concern, does it mean that we hate our life? When Christ challenges us to prioritize service to Him, we do not worry about our personal concern of life. When Christ says that whoever serves Him will live in His heaven and honored by God the Father, He offers options. Option to serve Him, option to love Him, or option to hate Him. What is our priority? Reflect on this. If God is concerned about eternal life, if God is concerned that He wants us to live in His heaven one day, if He desires that, would He disregard our needs to live in righteousness in this world? He won. Can you accept that if we prioritize service to Christ, we should not worry about material needs? If we start worrying about material things, that is our human instinct working in us. When we are at peace, when we have sense peace and joy in our heart, even if there are a lot of concerns in our family, personally, that is the Holy Spirit at work in our life. Can you accept that if we prioritize the Lord, He would provide for our need? How would you interpret what Christ declared in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 39? Let's read. Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake, will find it. Now, someone asked, Pastor, I have a lot of debts. Before I became a Christian, maybe, should I give half of the tithes and half of it to my debts? That was the question. They asked me. But my answer is, pray that God will give you wisdom. In the first place, he doesn't have faith. He doesn't believe. How can he understand if I explain, prioritize the Lord? How can he understand that if we prioritize our life, it means hate to the Lord? How can he understand that? He cannot. In the first place, if he understood that, he did not ask that question. Normally, everyone in this world is concerned about life. We are concerned about our health, especially during the pandemic. Our career, even during the pandemic, many have been laid off. Relationship have been affected during the pandemic because you cannot visit your friend, you cannot visit your relative, you cannot even visit your parents if they are somewhere else. Because the government said, stay where you are. And even mortgages suffered because we have nothing to pay. Can you strongly believe that if we serve the Lord, He provides essential needs for righteous lifestyle so that we do not worry about material needs? Now, if you cannot believe that, ask, Lord, increase my faith. Just admit that you cannot believe it. The Lord is understandable. He knows if you believe or not believe. So don't force yourself to believe if you cannot, but ask. Ask the Lord. Strengthen my faith, O God. If by God's grace we prioritize service to Christ, we will not stumble nor fall spiritually. We will not. In verse 7 and 8, let's read this. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. To those who do not believe, the stone builder rejected has become cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble in a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Apostle Peter wrote this letter to believers who were exiled, scattered in Asia Minor, that is the modern Turkey. And of course, they were foreigners in their new residence. And they may have struggled with prejudice, racism, and at place of work where they have resided. You know how they were prejudiced? If people know they were Hebrew, they know that these Hebrew are circumcised. And uncircumcised people will say, wow, the circumcised, those are the circumcised. And they laugh at them because they were circumcised. Certainly immigrants, fewer immigrants. Many of us are immigrants. You have experienced similar struggle the first century Christians have gone through in Turkey or Asia Minor. In like manner, we believers, we also struggle. We should expect unfair treatment from this world. And anyone who rejects Christ may or may not persecute us. They may persecute us or may not persecute us. But it is very helpful to have strong trust in Christ. Christ as our cornerstone, so that despite the prejudice, we can celebrate, we worship God when His Holy Spirit produces joy, gladness in us. Every moment we have choices to make. We choose to be here, even when there are a lot of things to be done, household chores or those things. We prioritize what is important to us. What is important to you today? Is it important for you to protect your dignity? Do you publicly sing happy birthday? You go to a restaurant and sing happy birthday to the person who's the celebrant. You care. You sing because you care. There was this father. There was this story of article about a father. He sang out his heart, happy birthday to his son in public. But the friend who was with him was not amused. Others were amused. Wow, look at that father. He really loves to greet his son, 5-year-old son. The friend says, shh, not so loud. But the father sing loudly, and perhaps other people were just taking a video, putting it in TikTok or somewhere else, Spotify or Facebook, because they were amused that he was singing his heart. The father prioritized showing much care to his son. He just wanted his son to rejoice that day. He was not concerned about what others may say when he sang happy birthday to his son. In comparison, that friend prioritized what she assumed as embarrassment of singing loudly in public. That's embarrassing. Instead, people who reacted to the video, because that person who was embarrassed posted it in her social media. I was embarrassed that this father was singing to his son. But others, maybe you are not a good friend to him. Instead of supporting him, you feel embarrassed for what the father did to his son, which is really good. As believers, we also have choices. We have priorities in life. As we grow mature in our salvation, we choose. We choose to serve the Lord. Even if others cannot understand, why do you go to church on Sunday? Why not just work? You can earn more money. Even if others cannot understand why we choose to follow the Lord, we choose to follow the Lord. We trust that the Lord provides all our needs for godly lifestyle. I have told you stories before. We know somebody, a friend we have. Instead of opening their business on Sundays, they just close it on Sundays. And people, their relatives, were just amused or just confused. And they think they were just crazy. Later, a few years later, they observe that this friend, they have better in material things, they have better business than those who do not close their business on Sundays. They have the same business. And yet why? This person who closed the business on Sunday had prospered than them. I hope that those who observe them learn from their testimony. How do you interpret what Christ said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29? Let's read this. Everyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters or fathers, mothers or wife or children or field for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Many among us have personally experienced that our life has become far better when we follow and serve the Lord. The Lord situates us exactly where he planned us to be, essential parts of his spiritual house. Are you curious, personally curious, how you may serve the Lord? Pray earnestly, sincerely. Lord, how do I serve you? How do you want me to serve you? Then start with, the Lord would present good things. Any good things that you think it's good and proper to do, do it. Those that comes to your attention. Even if it is very little, minimal, it builds your character, your habit, your attitude. There are a lot of older people who would complain that younger people have no initiative of doing such and such in their household chores. Why? Because young people do not have built that character yet to initiate good things. But if you start doing it, it will become a habit. Like, for example, if you, after eating, you wash your dish, wash your the utensils that you use, instead of waiting until somebody, oh, that's not my turn, it's her turn, it's his turn to wash the dishes. Later on, you do not think about those things. Who is in charge of this and that? You just want it to do what is proper and right. And that's the start of serving the Lord. Do what is right and proper that you think you ought to do. You are obeying the Lord, serving the Lord. Slowly but surely, God shapes our attitude. God shapes our behavior, our character, our habit, even sleeping habit or waking up habit. Slowly but surely, He would build us. Keep on praying in preparation to His calling. You would start with those things. God may have called you to full-time ministry or not yet. He does not require us to make rash decision. As for start, we serve God in our situation. What is your situation? As a retiree, what do you do? Retiree, maybe you care for younger generation. As working person, what do you do? You do your work properly. As a driver, what do you do? You drive, not recklessly. As student, what do? You study. You don't worry about grade, just study if it's your turn to study. As for start, we serve God in our situation. How do you interpret practically what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 25? How do you interpret this? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. There is no favoritism. No. Authorities, officers, anybody who gives us instruction what we should do, they serve as our master. The Lord is observing us. The Lord is observing us if we follow simple instruction. May it be in our home, may it be workplaces, in school, in society, the community, wherever we are situated, we follow instruction. Why do you do that? Why do we do that? As if we follow the instruction of Christ. We remember this word. And God will reward us eventually. What do you think, workers? Who would be promoted first? The person who keep on resisting the manager, or the person who been gently desire to do what the manager says? Of course, we expect to enter heaven as believers. And Christ has instructed us to surpass righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the Jewish law. Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Christ is the truth. He tells the truth. He declares what is true. If it is true, then we should follow by faith. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, Jewish laws, they gave God's tithe regularly. Even the smallest thing, the smallest herb, if you give an herb, like, what is herb? Garlic? Is that herb? I don't know. Basil. Oh, there's basil there. If you give a kilo of herb, they would weigh it. 10% of it, they would separate it and give offering to the Lord. Even those things, not just the big things that they receive, even the smallest things they give tithes. How about fasting? They fast regularly. They pray regularly. Even people see them, they are fasting. They are because they want to show they are righteous. How can we surpass that? How can we surpass those righteousness? Have you ever fasted? It's not only fasting from eating. You can be fasting from playing internet games or just wasting time doing something. You can fast from that. You can fast from your social media. If by faith we reckon and consider Christ as cornerstone of our lives, and we serve with gladness for his purposes for us, that is God's word, and we trust that when Christ returns, he will take us, he takes us into his heaven, live with him forever. Amen. Shall we stand up? Think about your situation right now. What is your situation? What is it that you struggle to obey in your situation? Ask the Lord to help you, give you stronger faith to trust him, to believe that he situated us where you are most essential to his purposes. Just ask the Lord for stronger faith and godly wisdom.